Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to Spirits Podcast, a boozy dive into mythology, legends, and folklore. Every week we pour a drink and learn about a new story from around the world. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Julia.
And this is episode 98, Your Urban Legends, part 14, Restaurant Ghost Wars.
Restaurant Wars was always my favorite part of any season of Top Chef.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like, honestly, it's just the most stressful part of any season.
It's incredibly stressful and people have the best intentions and they're like, everyone fails a Restaurant Wars. I'm not going to do that. And then they fail Restaurant Wars.
And then they blame other people and throw them under the bus. I'm still mad about that one season.
I know. The front of house manager. Remember that one season the front of house manager was like, saved the entire team. And they were like, thank you.
Yes. You did great.
Great. And you know who else does great, Julia?
Would that be our new patrons?
Our new patrons, Scott, Julie, Alex, Dominic, Emily, Ina, Claire, and Forrest.
You all save your entire teams when it comes down to Restaurant Wars. And you also put out a dope dish.
And I definitely would choose one of our supporting producer level patrons to expo for me in my restaurant because they're just that good. Mm-hmm. Philip, Julie, Christina, Eeyore, Josie, Amara, Neil, Jessica, Maria, Ryan, Phil Fresh, and Deborah, as well as our legend level patrons. These folks get actual physical stuff from us in the mail every month. Jess, Elisa, Zoe, Cassie, Sandra, Audra, Mercedes, Jack Marie, and Leanne.
You all own creepy, spooky bars, or you did in a past life.
And Julie, I'm not going to ask you what we were drinking this week because I chose the beer. It's Freaktober beer from Coney Island Brewery. One of my favorites.
So good.
I visited them for the first time over the summer and I wear the hat that I got there pretty much every day.
I love
Coney Island. I love Freaktober. They are coming out with like a coffee Freaktober and oh my God, I can't wait.
I love Coney Island beer and the fact that it's finally October makes me so happy. I'll drink all the October beers.
I'm so stoked. And in my opinion, nothing goes better with a great beer than a creepy book, which is why this week I want to recommend Tana French. She is one of my favorite mystery writers, crime writers. She has like a Dublin Detective Squad, Dublin Murder Squad, I think it's called, series of crimes being solved in Dublin, which what's not to love, except that her newest book, which comes out this week, is titled The Witch Elm. I saw the email from Goodreads come out in my inbox and I sat up straight in bed and yelled. That's how excited I am for this book.
That sounds amazing. I know you've talked a little bit about her books before, but the fact that she got a new one and it's witchy, hell yeah.
It's made exactly for me. So thank you, universe.
Do you know what else is also made just for us, Amanda?
No.
Well, it would be the Skillshare classes that we took this week. So we are sponsored this week by Skillshare. You can go to skillshare.com/spirits to get 2 months of premium subscription for only 99 cents. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that in the refill.
And because we're goddamn adults, we can sip a cocktail as we learn at home, which is why we're so stoked that Shaker and Spoon is back, where you can get $20 off your first box of subscription cocktail supplies at shakerandspoon.com/spirits.
I heard this month's was real, real good.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Do you know what else is real, real good, Amanda?
I think it's too many segues.
So many segues. Keep going.
Okay. Is it our upcoming Thanksgiving season, which we both really love?
I do really love Thanksgiving. I love cooking at Thanksgiving. But before Thanksgiving happens, Amanda, Halloween happens. And also Brooklyn Horror. You can come see us live at the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival.
It's going to be really, really great. We're going to talk all about New York area urban legends and maybe even have some special friends stop by. So you can find a link to buy tickets in the description of this podcast. And we also made a Facebook event. So if you're going to come to the show, definitely join that Facebook event. I shared it to our Facebook group and you can make sure that you connect with all the other creepy cool fans that are going to be there. It is going to be very fun. A lot of our friends are coming and a lot of other New York area podcasters. So it should be pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
And just 3 days after that is another big day in this Spirits Creepy Cool month of October, which is that our new merch is coming out. We have some incredible things coming out. I am so freaking stoked. I have to like sit on my hands so I don't yell from the rooftops and do cartwheels about how excited this merch makes me. And as a special thank you to all of the folks who support us on Patreon, everyone at the $4 level and above is going to get a coupon for 20% off that new merch and our old merch. So a code for 20% off our entire merch store on the 17th of October, next Wednesday, the day that this episode comes out.
So everyone pledging $4 and above on the 17th is going to get that 20% off. So it's the perfect time to do it right now.
Right now. All right. Well, there is nothing more left to say except that we hope you enjoy Spirits Podcast Episode 98, Your Urban Legends, Part 14, Restaurant Ghost Wars.
Spooky. So I went to a wedding this weekend, y'all. The food was insane. So this is my boss who owns a cheese shop, and they decided to cater their wedding themselves because, one, cheaper, and two, they make real good food.
Was it just cheese?
No.
And they're hardcore badasses.
It was not just cheese. They are hardcore badasses, but it was not just cheese. There was like a full cheese table, which was wonderful because I sat right next to the cheese table. Yes. And I could just get up and get cheese whenever I want. The nice part about this, though, is the restaurant that I work at, the cheese shop, not haunted, unlike all of the stories that we're going to tell today.
Oh my gosh, is this our food extravaganza?
It's our food ghost extravaganza.
We have spent so much time delving deep, deep into spaghetti.
So much spaghetti.
We specialize in spaghetti at this point.
It's everywhere. It's no good.
And we wondered to ourselves, is all Italian food haunted? Is all perhaps food haunted? We're not sure. So
perhaps.
We polled our listeners, our conspirators, for stories about food and restaurant hauntings, and y'all came through.
They did. In droves. Droves!
We also did some field reporting. Julia's and my first out in the field interview when we were in Philadelphia at Podcast Movement. We went to an actual haunted bar.
It was very cool.
And they interviewed a cheesesteak.
Oh, yep. It wasn't as talkative as I was hoping for. Good to be honest, though. It was probably more talkative than one would expect, though.
Now, did the cheesesteak have a bunch of cheesy puns?
But a psh.
No,
oh
just
my gosh,
editor.
It's a pun about how cheesy puns are.
I hate everything.
That's
about
next
this.
Level.
The let's, most pun.
Let's let the expert speak here and get into some listener emails. We're going to give you that very, very fun on location interview in a haunted bar on the second half of this episode.
But first, Amanda, do you want to start us off?
Oh, dang, sure. This email comes from Irving. It is titled Flying Whiskey, Stools a Rattlin', and Door Standing Spooky Boys, a very haunted
Already
restaurant.
Already so good. Already so good.
I know. Good subject lines are pretty key to getting your email read on air.
Also, Irving is a solid name.
Oh, yeah.
All over. I'm into it.
So here we go. Join me on this journey, y'all. Irving writes, buckle up, buttercups. I have some restaurant haunts for you.
Also, if you start your email like that, that is a guaranteed way we're going to read the email online.
That's an unbelievable intro.
During my younger years, we talking about age 15, I worked as a busser at this local restaurant in Maple Park, Illinois, called Sorrento's, that served mostly Italian-American-style fare. It's like they're asking for a haunting, because as you guys have shown, Italian food definitely haunted.
That is true.
I think this place opened under its current name around 1974, but had been in business 30-plus years before that. Anyways, as a 15-year-old, I was especially drawn to ghosts, spooks, hauntings, bones, and all other kinds of what the average human being would label the creepy shit.
I think it's just a given that when you turn, I don't know, 13, 14, something like that, you automatically get interested in the occult. I think that's just a given.
Oh, yeah. You're like, the world is way more complex and frankly scary than I thought. So instead of facing, you know, puberty and my future, I'm going to think about the occult.
Checks out.
So Irving continues. I was also scared of everything. I'm talking my own shadow spooked me once or twice. Now, I know you may question, Irving, if you were so scared of everything, why would you still be interested in the spookiness? That, my friends, is a can of grave worms to be opened on a different day.
Or in therapy. Whatever works.
Like I was saying, this place was old and most definitely haunted. One of the primary places for a haunt was in the side dining area called the Tack Room. And even when it was full of people eating and dining, I hated going in there. You could just feel the energy was off. One distinct and most direct supernatural occurrence that I can recall is one night the dining room was clearing out and things were starting to slow down. It was only me and one other busser, let's call him Joe, working the main side of the restaurant while another was on the small side. We had a huge wedding reception in the Tack Room that night, which finally cleared out. Julia's shaking her head here.
I'm just like, haunted wedding, no.
Amazing. So Joe designated that he would keep up with the main dining room while I go in and clean up and reset the Tack Room post-wedding. I go in and start doing my thing, clearing off tables and dishes, blowing out candles, other general busser things, etc. Overall, going well, but I just couldn't shake that overall feeling of not wanting to be in there. So I'm just minding my own business, but also working incredibly fast because I wanted to get the heck out of there. However, as I'm setting out plates on one of the tables in the back corner, the light sconces on the walls flicker.
No.
I looked up quick, checked the small corner behind me, and held my breath for what felt like a solid 45 seconds. The energy in the room had also dropped and become incredibly heavy feeling, and I began to have this creeping sensation of someone watching me.
Nope.
Now, I had a job to do and couldn't just drop everything and run to my boss shouting ghost, right?
I mean, you could.
Yeah. I mean, typically you want like really, really solid evidence of a ghost. You want like Scooby-Doo level evidence.
And by Scooby-Doo level of evidence, we mean a physical man that you could pull a mask off.
Yep.
Yeah,
that
cool.
That's the threshold.
Or like an abandoned sheet on the ground. So I just sped up my work, laying out plates, silverware, napkins, whatever, as quickly as my 15-year-old hands could, while keeping a watchful eye on all dark corners and both doorways in the room. I was just about finished when something hits me. Not physically hits me, but the feeling that someone had been watching you for a while and you just now figured out their presence and location. I also made a grave mistake and had turned my back to the primary set of doors leading into the room.
Don't ever do that.
I lost my breath, panicked, and spun around to face the direction where I was getting the feeling from. And there, in the doorway, was a dark figure with white eyes. It was only there for a second and was gone as I blinked. I no longer required oxygen, seeing as the concept of breathing was shredded and lost in my mind files. So I placed the last glass down and booked it out of the room. And side note, there was also lore that you need to put a fresh tablecloth on the one back table in the room, as well as two place settings across from each other, since according to one of the owners, these are for the ghost that haunts the Civil War era looking painting of a man that hangs above that table in that corner.
Hey, I wouldn't own that bar/restaurant anymore if that was the case.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just get rid of the painting.
Right. Like,
that is true. You could just get rid of the painting.
Instead of like having a ritualized way to like placate your ghosts such that you tell it to even the like, you know, children bussers in the restaurant, maybe instead get rid of the painting.
Yeah. Could we now, we're currently doing a food themed hometowns.
Yes.
Can we now request for a later episode, spooky art?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, send us spooky art. Spooky art.
Spooky art.
Send us that. Start your submission with art in the subject so we know to categorize it there. But we would love to do a hometowns all about spooky art as well.
Yes. That would be awesome. My favorite segment from the Creepy Kids episode was that kid painting that kept showing up in the fire. So I definitely want more of that. Oh, yeah.
No. I don't like that.
Yeah, Irving also mentions that some of their coworkers had experiences as well. One time a whiskey bottle flew off the shelf in front of them, and that in general, people do not go into the basement cellar or the downstairs dining room because that was like out of Irving's area, but that they hated having to walk by the stairs, which is a very good idea.
Yeah, there's this really interesting phenomenon in like people, like paranormal investigators, where people, especially ones that like don't like who are very skeptical paranormal investigators, like for example the folks who like did The Conjuring and the Amityville Horror all that kind of stuff, the people that those movies are based on, so they did a lot of really interesting work. And a lot of times when you like enter a room and something feels off and it's like constantly happening with that room, it's because like something with the electrical currents like are interacting in a way that like gives you bad vibes.
Huh.
It's your body physically reacting to like electrical currents in the air.
That is really
Julia just made all that up. It's ghosts.
I mean, it's also ghosts, but there are times where non-haunted places can feel haunted because weird electrical current stuff.
But if anything, I think that kind of lends credibility to the idea that your body can sense things that you might not be able to, like, touch or smell, you know, or point to.
Yeah.
Because if you can pick up on this, like, physical alteration of the environment, like, why not other kinds of vibes?
Yeah. And I mean, that's why, like, ghost investigators use EMF readers, because electromagnetic frequency is a thing that is supposedly has to do with ghosts and how they interact with their environments from the spiritual plane.
Someone pay us to have a ghost hunting show and we'll dive more into this.
Please, someone pay us to have a ghost hunting show. If the guys at BuzzFeed can make cool videos and the ghosts just say spaghetti,
then we
should be able to do that too.
I know. We're here.
I'm still mad about that. Spaghetti's our thing. Come on.
Infringement. TM, TM. All right, y'all. Guess someone else give me a restaurant story here.
I've got a story from jolly old England across the pub.
Oh my God, what?
Across the pub?
Across the pub.
Across the pond.
Across the pub.
But it's
now.
In a
you know,
pub.
That across large, the pond. Wet pub that separates our two nations.
Okay, just... so I last episode, I also tried to do an accent, and it went very poorly. and now this one, I figured, let's just lean into that.
Oh, yeah. If anything, we've learned that the stupider Eric and I get during these episodes, the better they are.
And it turns out this one went so poorly that I said the wrong words.
Oh,
so
it's okay.
So not good. Great. This email comes to us from Neve and is titled Ghosts in a Pub. Hiya. I'm obsessed with your podcast because I love ghost stories and I'm so happy that it's from two really cool women. And a really cool dude.
You're cool too, Eric. Don't worry.
Part-time dude.
It's cool. I don't take any offense at all. I'm joking. I was just reading the email and it said two women and then there's this white guy reading it. Anyways, here's my story. I used to work for a company of pubs in England that takes old buildings and works the pub around the theme of them to what the building used to be.
Ooh.
So this is like this is kind of like a spaghetti warehouse situation,
say,
but instead of making cool old warehouses into the exact same thing and just adding a trolley, they do a bit more
and serve some
unique
spaghetti.
Situation
research.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one in this story used to be a cinema, so had portraits from film stars and significant people in the city of Manchester. Anyways, the pub was on two floors and the basement. On the first floor, which is typically the second in America, there was one bar with a huge seating area and an overlooking balcony to down below. While this bar was heaving with people on a Saturday night, I also worked there on Monday nights, closing at 12 and leaving at about 1 a.m.
That is late for a Monday night.
Yeah. They go hard across the pub.
Hey, yeah. God damn it.
Also, a three-story bar. I'm into it.
This was a really old building, so many things happened in the bar. But the worst was when I was maybe 19, closing the bar on my own, and I just ran back up the stairs at about 12:30 a.m. after emptying the mop bucket outside. As soon as I reached the top, I made eye contact with this old man on the other side of the balcony. I shouted over, it was a super big building. Sorry, mate, we're closed up here. And he just glared. Like, I've never seen anger like that on someone's face. I was a bit annoyed. It had been a long day, but my manager shouted from downstairs, wondering who I was talking to. When I looked back up, the old man was gone. I wasn't convinced it was a ghost until I went downstairs to help the other bars close up, and a coworker said that no one had gone upstairs since 11 p.m.
Oh.
Their second story is about the basement. And in this, now the basement is the top floor in the UK.
Eric, that was a good joke.
That was a really good joke.
Thank you.
You're so proud of yourself.
I was quite proud of that one.
And my brain was like, oh.
This one is super, super creepy. But honestly, I wasn't as freaked out. It was we'll be the judge of how freaked out you should be. If there's one thing we do on these episodes, it's
we judge
how the because some people are not freaked out enough and some people are too freaked out over something.
Yes.
And some people are just too chill about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Too chill is probably the worst situation you could be in.
Yeah.
except for with the one person who like talked to a river. They yeah. had the perfect amount of chill because like they were just getting good advice from a river.
Yeah, that's fair. Or like our friend the Crawdad King, who's just like, yep, this is it. This is my life.
I mean, we're the Crawdad King is on another level. Like the Crawdad King is outside of the realm of any listener writer.
We could only wish to be as cool as the Crawdad King.
They're the king of sea creatures and also of us.
It was a busy Saturday night and I ran down to change a barrel. Sorry, I immediately had like an image of Donkey Kong. I was just like Mario, like at the bottom of like the Donkey Kong, like trying to like
jumping
grab
over
a barrel.
The barrels. Yep.
The lights weren't the best, so it was dim, and I heard from the corner a kind of growling. I put it down to the loud music coming from above, changed the music, and then left. Later that night, the manager asked me to go grab an extra stock as we were short. I went downstairs and heard the growling again. This time, there was no music upstairs as we were closed for the night. I had told a couple of people, so I thought it was one of my coworkers taking the mic. But then I felt an extremely hot breath on my leg and froze.
Nope.
Uh-oh. There was no growling anymore, but I could still feel the heat on my leg getting worse and worse. Eventually, it stopped. I finished my shift and went home. Still worked there for a year afterwards, but luckily now I don't.
You just casually walked away. You're like, this breath on my leg. I'm just going to walk away now. I would be sprinting out of there.
But see, it's so plausible because it could be any kind of like vermin or creature, or it could be like a spider bite that makes your leg feel hot when it's bitten. Like, ugh.
I think it would depend. I don't know how many like they don't have like raccoons and shit. In the UK, I don't think. Are there raccoons in the UK?
I mean, there aren't going to be, like, pests big enough to breathe on you that you can feel, you know?
Yeah, see, that's my problem here.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's an explanation. I'm saying that I would be almost more scared because, there are so many, like, even the like, non-ghostly possibilities are freaky.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking about, like, straight-up animals. Like, not assuming this is a hellhound. I'm just being like, there's a raccoon in your basement and it tried to bite you.
Yeah, no good.
Might have just been a cat.
Ghost cat.
I don't know. Ghost cat.
Ghost. It could be ghost dog. Ghost dog's back. He's back from Japan. And he's hanging out at a pub. Back.
Just hanging out. Just here to help. I'm going to go next. My email is entitled Haunted Restaurant Extravaganza. Which is sent in by Jess. And Jess writes, I was just listening to episode 86 when you requested food-specific or restaurant-specific scares, so I remembered the time that my band played at a haunted, old-timey hotel-turned-Irish pub called Stone's Public House.
Yes.
Everything about that sentence rocked.
It was real hard. It was good.
Just rocked so fucking hard.
I love it.
Jess says, I'm from Massachusetts, and in parentheses, I grew up very near the Dingle Hole, mind you. Because you guys remember the Dingle Hole, right?
The Dingle Hole Returns.
I vaguely remember it.
And I've been in a classic rock cover band since I was 17. I'm now 24. One time we played at an Irish pub that was so proud of their haunted heritage that they had a binder at the hostess station full of history, sightings, and pictures. Formerly known as the Railroad House, since it's right next to the railroad, the place was a hotel built by a man named John Stone in 1834. According to the pub's binder and website, there are multiple spirits that roam the premises, including a young girl who was struck by a train and brought into the inn only to die in one of the upstairs rooms.
Ugh.
In 1984, psychics and paranormal investigators were able to begin surveying the premises after multiple reports from employees about, quote, doors that would not remain bolted and lights that would turn themselves on. To quote a newspaper article included on the pub's website, all the psychics perceived more than one spirit, mostly sullen male phantoms. Which is hilarious.
Those are the same people who tell us on Twitter that we have to say the word like less.
Last week, psychic Lee Sonnenfeld had the same peculiar sensation. A drunkard named Bert Phillips may have died at the inn during the 1890s, she said. Now Phillips' spirit refuses to leave the inn because it enjoys the atmosphere there, which is a good like recommendation for that pub.
You know,
go
what?
For that spirit.
An inn is a really good place to die if you have to choose, I think, because if you're gonna haunt it, there's not just like creature comforts of like a restaurant and like a place to sleep. There's like travelers coming through. There's great cover bands that spirits listeners are in. You know, there's mm-hmm. entertainment. It's a good eternal resting place.
According to Fournier, bartenders are constantly telling of water taps that turn themselves on, and patrons have reported being tapped on the shoulder only to turn around and find no one behind them.
Ooh.
Also in 1984, an article about Ralph Bibo, a professional hypnotist who visited the inn, and here's another quote. After several sessions, Bibo said he has finally been able to unearth the ghastly tale that has kept between 6 to 7 spirits roaming the inn for nearly 140 years. After speaking to several of the spirits, including a chambermaid named Sadie, Bibo said he was told that John Stone accidentally killed a New York boarder, Michael, after he accused the visitor of cheating in an upstairs card game that netted him $3,000.
Damn.
It's a lot of money. Bibo said 6 or 7 of the persons who witnessed the murder and helped Stone bury the body in the basement were bound together in secrecy to the owner, even in the spirit world. Even in the spirit world? Fuck that noise.
I mean, this is some, like, 9th level D&D, like...
Oh, yeah.
...spell casting that requires, like, 20,000 platinum and all
kinds
of
shit.
There's
a lot of necromancy happening here.
Yeah, or something that your party does in like your second session, and then 5 years later when you all are married with kids, your DM is like, end consequences.
That's my favorite. That's going to be my favorite arc of Join the Party, the consequence party.
Reckoning
you
party.
You come up with a good party name there.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
End of the world party. So Jess says, anyway, while we were there, I didn't experience anything spooky other than my mom's water glass sliding directly across her table and into her lap.
Fuck!
One of the ghosts even knocked my tambourine off a shelf to remind me not to leave it behind. That's a helpful ghost. Good job, ghost.
Helpful ghost, yeah.
I know this is a lot of buildup for not a ton of payoff, but I'm on the train on my way to burlesque rehearsal. Amazing, Jess. You're the coolest.
What? Jess, my new favorite listener.
Look, I'm not saying we need to make like a March Madness bracket for some of our listeners, but I mean, two of the number one seeds are Jess and Crawdad King.
They're up there.
It's pretty solid. But Jess says that they will report back next time they visit the pub.
Please do.
And they say, stay spoopy, my noodles. Which is very cute.
Thank you for putting so much thought into your subjects and your sign-offs and your lovely compliments, listeners. I know we can't read every email on air, but they warm our heart, and it's genuinely like one of the greatest joys of my life to read through these.
Yes, those were all very, very good, and I am excited to hear your guys' interview at this haunted pub. I was unable to attend, but I'm super stoked for everybody to get to hear it, because I haven't heard it either. So I'm listening to it with the listeners.
Wait, how did it get edited
then? First time as well, pretty much.
How did it get edited then, if you haven't been there and haven't listened to it yet?
A Halloween miracle! Oh, spooky!
So we are going to get a refill, and then you will hear our interview with the owner of McGillin's Old Ale House in Philadelphia.
Enjoy. Julia, there are a lot of things that are creepy about going out to eat, about walking down the street, about using the internet. But one of the great things that is not very spooky, but very, very cool in this world is learning.
I do love learning.
And even though I'm no longer in school, I do keep the learning going with Skillshare. So this is an online learning community with over 20,000 classes in design, business, technology, and more. And with their premium membership, you get unlimited access to high-quality classes on things like entrepreneurship, on design, on cooking, on filmmaking, anything you might want to learn. And this week, I took a course by Debbie Millman, who is the host of Design Matters, which is a podcast that's been going on for almost 15 years, like serious podcast OG situation. And she has a course called The Art of the Story, creating visual narratives. She's a badass. She teaches at a college here in New York City. I wish I could take her class, but I can't, so I can take her Skillshare. And she teaches you how to craft a narrative, edit your writing, find inspiration in history, and experiment with physical materials. So basically everything we love.
That's amazing, Amanda. That sounds like such a cool class. And, you know, we work in an audio medium, but sometimes we like to do the visual stuff.
Exactly. And she shows us a bunch of her favorite visual stories, books, art objects, and more. So much as I love podcasts, and as much as it can create, you know, beautiful images in my mind, it is also very cool to see someone who is like at the top of her game, at the top of her craft, show you like her favorite stuff in her amazing office. So I highly recommend Debbie Millman over on Skillshare. And Julia, how can folks get access to that class?
Well, they can get 2 months of Skillshare for only 99 cents. And to sign up, they go to skillshare.com/spirits. Again, that is skillshare.com/spirits to get 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for only 99 cents. So you can start learning today.
Thank you, Skillshare.
We are also sponsored this week by Shaker and Spoon. Amanda, Shaker and Spoon is back.
We love Shaker and Spoon, and there is nothing creepy cooler than having them back for one of our October sponsors.
And if you are new to the podcast and don't know about Shaker and Spoon, they are a monthly cocktail subscription box that delivers craft cocktail experience to your home. Think like Blue Apron, but for cocktails. It is wonderful. I made a cocktail from Shaker and Spoon last night for my birthday. It featured blood orange chili juice, and it was insanely good. I love a spicy drink, Amanda, as you know. I am ride or die when it comes to like jalapeno margaritas and stuff like that. And this was perfect because the chili had like a hint of like cinnamoniness to it. And it just, it worked so well for like the Halloween spirit of me going for my birthday to a haunted house in a corn maze.
Hell yeah, you did, Jules. Your brand is strong. But I am not super into spicy drinks, and I would never order a jalapeno margarita at a bar because I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. But with Shaker and Spoon, I can use their adorable tiny little bottles of syrups and bitters because they send you exactly enough supplies to make a bunch of different kinds of cocktails for one type of spirit. So you can try it and see if you like it. They get world-class bartenders to make 3 custom cocktail recipes and then send you enough supplies to make 4 drinks of each. So that means 12 custom cocktails that you make right in your house for you or for a party. There's so many ways that you can enjoy Shaker and Spoon.
It is a perfect party box to enjoy. So you can save it for a special occasion and then all your friends are there and you make a bunch of cool cocktails and everyone is super jealous.
Seriously, I would come to anyone's Shaker and Spoon party. So go to shakerandspoon.com/spirits for $20 off your first box.
Yeah, again, that is shakerandspoon.com/spirits, 20% for $20 off your first box. And I think now that we've refilled on our delicious, delicious October Freak beer, it's time to get back to the story.
We are here at McGillan's Ale House. You guys actually reached out to us on Twitter. We were talking to our listeners about how we were excited to come to Philly, and if anybody had Philly urban legends that we should check out, they let us know about you, and then you guys DM'd us, and we were like, oh my God.
I was this is awesome.
Interview
perfect.
You and come visit your haunted pub. So please, Chris, tell us who you are and a little bit about where we're sitting.
Sure. Well, my name is Chris Mullins. I'm one of the owners of McGillan's Old Ale House. I own it with my parents. They've been here since the early 90s, and I've been here for just a little over 10 years.
Nice.
And as you saw from the DM, that we're the oldest bar, but we also like to dabble in technology and social media and try to stay as relevant as possible.
We appreciate that.
Well, we want to find out, you know, who's coming to Philly and why and how can we get them to visit.
That must have been a staggering change in the last, 10 years in particular, and sort of like how to market and be a, you know, restaurant in existence in this day and age.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Most restaurants don't live long enough to get to the next new tech
Right.
You know, especially wave. Nowadays when right. it just turns over so quick.
Yeah. I was laughing with one of our bartenders last night. She said, "What is this?" She found an old stack of papers in a drawer. I said, "Oh, that's what we used to use before we had computers here." So it's like funny, just, you know, 20 years ago, things were manual.
You know,
now we're using internet and digital and, you know,
or
Instagram.
The old credit card machines that you do.
We have them. Well, that's
just
the
in case your stuff goes out.
You know, it's like when you young people, such as yourself, look at like rotary phones. You know, it's the same thing. The old swipers. People say, "What is that? How do I use this?"
They're pretty ingenious, though. Like it's like a fax machine, but right then and
that's
manual
right.
to be able to
it's foolproof, right?
Yes.
So knock on wood, it's never happened where we've had total failure, but it's there just in case.
And I've worked in restaurants where there has been total failure, so I was just like, heart, it hurts.
Yeah, it's true.
So can you give us the like 60-second origin story of McGillen's?
Sure. It takes a lot longer than 60 seconds,
we'll take
but
it.
I'll
Listen,
try.
We have,
I'll
we have
do
time.
Clip that.
We have beers.
Maybe another beer.
You generously brought us some beer, so we are ready to hang out.
Amanda's drinking the real ale from
the house ale. Yeah. It's delicious. I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, watermelon Kolsch, because I am nothing but a cliche.
Exactly. Well, no, that's good. And the ale is made by Stout's Brewery, which is a local brewery, and your beer is from River Horse.
Yeah, we love
which
River
is
Horse.
Close to New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, so McGillen's was founded in 1860 by William McGillen. He was an Irish immigrant and kind of got into the business that most Irishmen do best, and that's the bar business. So he set up a little pub here on Drury Street, it's your first time in Philly, so
it is.
It's even when you're from Philly, most people have never heard of Drury Street. It's just a little tiny one block alley in the center of Philadelphia.
It is very cute for our listeners who are not.
It's really tucked into this, you know, little bit of bustling Carter here. And he set it up as his home and a little pub.
Nice.
And as his business succeeded and grew, his family grew as well, and he began to expand, and he bought the properties on the other side of the building and built up and raised 13 children here.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds like your family.
My dad's one of 11.
Imagine in a little tiny little row home back here.
I can't. I visited my grandmother's house back in Galway, Ireland.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it was like a 3-room cottage, like stone, you know, like you would see.
I was just in Galway about
a
month and a half ago. So
oh, wow.
I can totally picture.
So right outside Galway.
Okay. I can totally picture the conditions.
But her and like 8 or 9 brothers and sisters in a like stone cottage that's now condemned. But I was like, even in the height of luxury, this is like not enough room for 9 bodies to lay down.
No,
like,
not at all.
Crazy. No, it's totally true. Somehow they did it. And we're probably, I guess, better off for it, you know?
Yeah,
clearly.
Tight family.
It's a very, very cute little place. We're
and
really glad to be here.
It's sustained itself over all these years, so which is great.
Right.
But he ran it until 1901. And when we talk about technology, he died cleaning up after workmen just installed the first central heating system in the city.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
So even back then, we were always trying to stay a step ahead and institute new technologies into the business.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So how did your parents come into the bar owning business?
Well, the McGillen family operated it until 1958. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather worked in the DA's office around the corner and was moonlighting here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got the inside scoop that it was for sale, and he and his brother jumped at the chance, and kind of
that's
the rest
awesome.
Is history.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and that kind of thing sounds like such a pipe dream when you're not in it. But mm-hmm. then, like, to see people who actually make it happen, you know, that's really amazing. We talk about owning like a cheese shop / speakeasy / bookstore one day.
Oh, that's
one day.
I like
maybe
that.
It'll actually happen.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
It's diversified.
Yeah, for sure.
Cheese, wine, books. You got a lot of it covered.
Got
there.
Everything.
That's good.
In New York, that's kind of like everything is something plus a bunch of other things.
Right.
Yeah, nighttime turns into a little wine bar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Great. Yeah.
So what are some of the stories and legends around McGillen's?
You know, there's all kinds of nothing, you know, you could write a novel about, I guess. But,
sure.
you know, we have our ghost stories and there's some fun little things. Probably the one thing that I skipped over a little bit is that when William McGillen died in 1901, his wife, Catherine, took over. And she was, you know, a force to be reckoned with. She was very famous here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Being a woman, you know, in the early 1900s, owning a pretty famous bar for decades, almost 40 years.
Wow.
And getting it through Prohibition. Mm-hmm. You know, you weren't allowed to vote, but she somehow owned a bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, she really was an awesome person that was highly respected in the city. Mm-hmm. So that is always worth mentioning.
Yeah, I know. If I were her, I could just imagine looking at a rowdy patron and being like, I raised 13 children. Get out of here.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing. She has in the sign is downstairs where any kind of loud talking, singing,
I pointed that out to Amanda when we were
that's
downstairs.
Correct.
Political discussion,
that's
right?
Right. Yep. Political yeah. and religious. Yep. Yep. Was totally banned. And they always said that her flag list read like the social registry here in Philadelphia. So it was kind of a badge of honor to get put on it. But she was quick to add your name if you misbehaved. So she's a cool woman.
She seems like my kind of guy.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. And she also took what William McGillen built, which was these three little row homes, mm-hmm. which were pretty ramshackled and not anything fancy,
sure.
and rebuilt this building to look pretty much as it does today. Yeah. So she also left her legacy structurally as well, too.
Yes, that's
so the design
awesome.
Of it was hers.
Which from an architectural standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, it feels so, it feels historical. You know, you have gorgeous ceilings and wooden beams and a wonderful, like, long bar with ornate, you know, kind of woodwork. It's just, it feels like such a destination. Like, you step in here and it's a little bit out of time.
I think, and that's part of it, too. You know, we work hard to keep things feeling as authentic as possible. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes, keeping things as modern as possible too.
Exactly. You
know, it's a healthy balance.
You
I think.
And you have to, if we let things kind of just go, which is easy when, you know, naturally when you have something that's been going on forever and it's pretty successful,
let's
rest on our laurels, you know, but we're always working to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate
it. It's kind of like
that.
Disney, where the more like effortless and magical and
we're
bubble,
just like Disney.
And bubble it seems on the inside. That means the harder people are working on the back end to make
true.
Stuff happen.
That's true. But anyway, so, and then, you know, there are lots of little stories. And being that you're in New York, I was impressed about a year ago, I discovered a story that made the New York Times front page. And mm-hmm. that was when the building that's just down the street, the Keystone Building, was being built. Mm-hmm. The son of the owner, Thomas, and the head bartender, Joe, went in, broke into the building when it was under construction.
Oh, boy.
And were fooling around in the newly installed vault. And Thomas locked Joseph in the vault.
Oh no. And worst nightmare.
I know. And it was like, it was a story that you talk about legends. That's an awesome, crazy story that we've never heard about. It was kind of lost in history.
Did he make it out?
He did. But they had to put an air vent into the vault and had to feed him water through this little tube.
Oh,
and it was
my goodness.
Stuck in there at least overnight.
Like a hamster cage.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was right down the streets. And the building's being renovated now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting, timely
story as well.
You hope
no one else
gets
stuck in
exactly.
there.
Like, watch out for that safe.
Or at least we'll have cell reception if they're inside.
Yeah. One would hope. Inside of safe, you never know.
Right. You might run out of air, but that's okay. Just don't run out of signal. Don't lose your signal.
To call for help, not to play Pokemon Go.
Whoa. Okay. All right. but anyway, so, and we do have our fair share of ghosts here as well.
I want to hear everything you know about every single one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's our total thing.
So the one common story that has happened time and time again for 50, 60 years is the lady in white.
Mm-hmm.
We believe is Mom McGillen, Catherine McGillen. She was first seen in the 50s or 60s by one of my grandfather's best friends, pardon me, and the manager of the bar. And she insisted that she saw this woman in a flowing white dress walking through the room.
Wow.
And I don't know if I ever was a real believer per se, but then we did have a paranormal group come through and they did all the video and the sound overnight. And they captured this image of the woman in the lady in white.
Wow. I think you're one of your people tweeted it at us the other day, and it's a really impressive photo, actually.
It is.
And it's wild because, again, whether you're a believer or not a non-believer, no one had ever heard that story before.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until we saw this picture and we were talking about it, and my mom was like, who is so not a believer. She's like, I think that there was that story that there was this lady in white. I mean, it was just an odd kind of resurgence of that story.
Yeah, yeah, like the pieces coming together.
Yeah, yeah. Memory is so it fails so often. So yeah. Like when something triggers it, it's so interesting.
I know. And then when you start to you see that, and I can show you the way it was captured. I don't know how they did it, or it had to have been real.
Something. Yeah.
But we can include that photo in the notes of this podcast for people to look at. Yeah.
And then we've had lots of other stories and other groups that have come through, and they have definitely had all the technological
detectors
to find it.
Yeah. All that Ghostbuster stuff.
And then our staff too have of course encountered different stories, and that was mainly down the basement.
Sure.
But I think personally when the basement ghosts are William McGillen.
Okay.
He died
hanging
here.
Out down there.
Yeah, well he died here cleaning up after the workmen.
Yep.
And they constantly are seeing a man. It's never a woman in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe, I don't know, they've been together for a long time. So
yeah,
maybe
exactly.
They want a little
they're
bit of space.
Happy here.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to watch over their business. I understand that.
Yeah. any other stories come to mind?
There's nothing outwardly special about McGillen's that blow people's minds. I think what it is that we've survived the test of time. Mm. We've been here for, V-Day, and we've been here through Prohibition, and we've been here through every president since Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
So it's that continuity of like just history, and that we're here.
Yeah.
And it's two families that have run it, and no generation has ever made it bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
And we're a bar here in Center City, and we are family owned, and we've always been family operated. Mm. It's just a place where you bring your kids and you come in and you hang out, and
it's tradition.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, people come back and they'll be like, say in their 60s, and they'll say, oh my gosh, the place is getting so young. When I was here back in the 60s, it was never like this. I'm like, you were the same age. Exactly. So we always are a place where we cater to young people. Mm-hmm. Right in this area here, we have Jefferson, which is a medical school, and Drexel and Penn.
Yeah. Yep.
And Philadelphia is a rich college life here. And then, you graduate. And then you hang out here, happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet, hopefully, your mate here.
Your future spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, bring your kids.
And then you bring your kids. And
kids
then that,
graduation.
And then then it all starts
cycles in.
Right over again. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why McGillen's is so popular with so many people in Philadelphia. It is very intergenerational, and it is about those kinds of traditions, But then we also have the green beer on St. Patrick's Day, and New Year's Day here in Philadelphia is a very
big day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mummers Parade. So it's kind of like our version of Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah, so we'll have lines down the street.
Wow.
And it's a huge celebration.
Well, that I think is a story worth telling. You know?
Yeah, I think so. And, again, I don't know how it interests, it's not... when we're here day in and day out, you sometimes wonder. It's a hard business to be in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think having those multi-generations coming through is the thing that always tells us that we're doing a good job.
And a good place with a good history will always survive, I think.
I think so. And we keep the prices low. Like, you being in New York, you probably don't blink at $8 beers.
That's about right.
That's about right, yeah.
Here in Philly, people get excited at anything over $6. And for us, our prices pretty much top out at $5, So keeping the prices low. And
Welcoming everybody in, it seems.
Yeah, we try. We're very... We try to be as hospitable and welcoming as we can be.
Yeah.
And like we said, there's behind the scenes, we're busting hump down the kitchen, making food from scratch. Mm-hmm. And we have a big staff behind the scenes working to keep this place running.
Mm-hmm.
You can see over my shoulder here, the the HVAC is getting worked on.
Well, it's
day
nice
like
and cool
today.
On a humid summer day.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. We walked in, we're like, oh, thank God.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Is it the ghost or is it the air conditioning?
Exactly.
Who knows?
We'll take it.
Matter.
We'll take it.
That's funny.
Cool.
On your way down, I also want to point out that we also have a lot of nice artifacts too about Philadelphia. Yeah. And that's another thing I think that brings people in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a rich history in terms of cities. There are few with more history than Philadelphia, honestly.
I think, yeah. And, you know, people ask us, well, did Ben Franklin drink here? I said, well, we weren't founded until 1860, so he was kind of long gone.
Wasn't everything before World War II founding father times?
Exactly.
Is that not
that's how it works, okay, right? I'll go with that.
All ghosts are Civil War ghosts, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, we have this kind of running joke on the show where it's like, we always hear about, like, ghosts in Victorian nightgowns and ghosts in Civil War uniforms, but like, where was the like 1980s ghost in parachute pants? Like, what?
Are there no JNCO jeans ghosts?
Like, what's happening here?
We'll have to start cultivating them.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know if you have any 90s
maybe an old iPod on the bar.
Michael Jackson's been hanging out in the corner with Whitney.
It's a sweet Zune over in the corner.
Yeah, I think people romanticize the stories that they were told when they were kids. So we're sort of like a generation removed from what we think of as like the far past.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my hypothesis. But
That's interesting. That's funny. So
cool. Well, thank you so much for welcoming us into your pub, into your story and your history, and for giving us some delicious ale.
Absolutely. Yeah,
much appreciated.
Folks visiting Philadelphia, make sure that stop number one
is
McGillan's.
Absolutely.
Spirits was created by Amanda McLaughlin, Julia Schaffini, and Eric Schneider, with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Keep up with all things creepy and cool by following us at Spirits Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr. We also have all of our episode transcripts, guest appearances, and merch on our website, as well as a form to send us your urban legends at spiritspodcast.com.
Join our member community on Patreon, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, for all kinds of behind-the-scenes stuff. Just $1 gets you access to audio extras with so much more available too. Recipe cards, director's commentaries, exclusive merch, and real physical gifts.
We are a founding member of Multitude, a collective of independent audio professionals. If you like Spirits, you will love the other shows that live on our website at multitude.productions.
And above all else, if you liked what you heard today, please share us with your friends. That is the very best way to help us keep on growing.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.